Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Dalet. We're learning tonight Lila Nishmas, my grandfather. I never had the schus to meet any of my grandparents. Three of them died al Kiddush Hashem, Hashem Yim Kom Domam, in the Shoah, and we don't know their burial places or the days that they died, but this is my one grandfather that I do know, the day of his Petira, which was Tes Zayin in Av, and we're learning Lila Nishmas, my holy grandfather, Yecheskel ben Ephraim Moshe. May our learning be in Aliyah for his Neshama. All the Shalom should learn for Shav and Aliyah. And I'm learning as well tonight for Shlema, for Aliza Bela, Basleya Sara Etel. She's undergoing an emergency appendectomy right now. Yes, as Hashem, she should have a Refuah Shlema. Okay, so we begin halfway down already, Chav Dalet Omud Aleph. We had a machlokas yesterday between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether you're choshesh for Misa or not. So we had said Rabbi Meir was choshesh for Misa, and Rabbi Yehuda was not choshesh for Misa. So the Gemara picks up, right, plop in the middle of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, and it says, really? V'lo chayesh Rabbi Yehuda l'misa? Is in fact Rabbi Yehuda not concerned that somebody will die? We had a case yesterday where a Kohen married a Bas Yisrael, and he goes off on a business trip, and his wife's still allowed to eat truma. We're not concerned that he passes away, and she's no longer able to eat the truma. So from that, Rav Yehuda is not chayish lemisa. But the Gemara questions this now. But we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Yuma, the very, very first daf in Yuma, where we had the famous story with the Kohen Gadol, that we set aside a separate wife for him. But Rav Yehuda Omer, af isha acheres maskinelo. The many preparations that we do for the Kohen Gadol, there's a vice Kohen Gadol ready to take over for him in case he becomes tummy, in case he were to die. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that we also prepare a separate wife for him, an extra wife for him, because it has to be, he's mechaper on Ishu Beso, he has to be married at the time that he's at the Avodah in Yom Kippur. So Rechmon Lusan, if his wife were to die, had a whole complicated process there, how they have another wife in the wings, so to say, ready to be his wife on Yom Kippur, and that's because we're Choshe Shlemisa. Shema Tomus Ishtos. How can you tell me Rabbi Yehuda is not Choshe Shlemisa? Clearly in Yom Kippur he is. So Gemara says, no, Hoyt my law. We asked that question over there. And Omer Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Rabbi Huna, Breder of Yeshua said, no, Mala Asu B'Chapara. That on Yom Kippur, they made a special Mila by Kapara. As Rashi points out over here, the Kapara Shem HaKippurim, Asu Bo Mila Zu Shechashash Ba B'Mide, the Lochayish B'Yama. That in general, we're not Choshe Shlemisa, but because of the severity and the seriousness of Yom Kippur and the great kapara that you get from it, we are learning this year on Tes Zayin Av. So yesterday, Shabbos, was Tuba Av, and in fact, the Gemara in Tainis and other places tells us that Tuba Av and Yom Kippur were the greatest Yom and Tovim for the Jewish people. And the Gemara says, why was Yom Kippur so great? Because it was the day of Slicha Mechila. So this idea of Kapara is such an important idea that Maila also b'Kapara, that they were Choshesh even for Misa when it came to Kapara. But in general, Rav Yehuda's opinion is that we're not Choshesh for Misa. Now the Gemara goes back to what we had a discussion yesterday. We said, according to Rav Meir, that we don't allow an animal to be used as the wall for a sukkah, so we had two reasons. We had Abaye's reasoning that said, because Shema Tomus, maybe the animal will die, and then you won't have a kosher wall. Or you had the reasoning of Reb Zeira that says, maybe the animal will run away, Shema Tivrach. So we had this discussion yesterday, why each one is not choshesh for the other one, under what circumstances this din is applicable. But now the Gemara asks a question on both of those shittas, and is going to reject the shittas that we had from yesterday, both Abaye and Reb Zeira. So Gemara says, Beilam, the Amar Shema Tomos, whether you called like Abaye, that the reason why Rav Meir said you can't use an animal for the wall of the sukkah is because maybe it will die and then it won't have the height of 10 tvachim. Or, Ben Laman, the Amar Rabbi Zeira, the Amar Shema Tivrach, that the animal is going to run away and therefore you'll be left without a sukkah because your wall left. So therefore, implication of both Abaye and Rav Zeira is that on a Daraisa level, mid Daraisa, Mechitz Ma'ayi. In fact, the animal is perfectly good. It's only Xera the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who the Gazru Ba, that it shouldn't be acceptable because either Shema Tomos or Shema Tivrach. But then we have a problem, Elamiata, based upon this, according to Rav Meir, that we are in fact saying that on the Daraisa level it's good. So then the Rabbi Meir, Titame Mishum Golel. So then a live animal should in fact be able to become Tomei when it's used as a gola, which is basically like a casket covering that you have on top of the casket, you put some sort of a stone normally. So here, if you put the animal there, the animal would become tome. Now, that would be on a darais level. So therefore, the rabbis can't decree that we're not choshesh for this din darais and say, no, it's not really something that we're concerned about. On a darais level, if it's tome, so then the rabbis don't have the power to say, but it's not tome. The other way around, if it's not tome, if it's tar on a derais level, the rabbis have the right to be machmir and say, we're making it tome, me the rabban. But the other way around, it doesn't work. It can't be matame on a derais level, but Tahara on a Derabbanan level. That doesn't work. So the Gemara says, El Rav Meir, Tami Mishum Golel. So how come we learned in the Mishnah in Ervin that it says, Alo Motznan, Rabbi Huda Metame Mishum Golel. Rabbi Huda is the opinion that the animal, a live animal, is Metame because of being the casket cover, Mishum Golel. The Rav Meir is Metar. And Rav Meir says it's not. Now, if you say the Rav Meir holds that on a Deraisa level, the animal's a good wall for the sukkah, it's only on a Derabbanan level, Shema Tomo, Shema Tivrach, that it's no good. So then, on a Deraisa level, the animal should have become Tome. So how can Rav Meir say you're Metar? Rashi points out, why don't we ask the question for the price that we brought down yesterday? As Rashi says, "Who I did the Masi leMifrach b'Masnisa." We could have asked from the Brisa Leil that we said in last day's share. Diktani, it said v'lo golel lekever, that a live animal can't be a golel for the kever. In other words, it doesn't become tummy for the kever. Why don't you ask it from there? So Gemara says, "Elam b'Masnisa." This Mishnah in Erevin alimo leilakshuye. It's preferable to ask from a Mishnah rather than from a Brisa. That's why we asked the question now from the Mishnah. We could have asked it from the Brisa from yesterday as well. Furthermore, Rashi says, "Oh, bishum diktani matar behedja loshen kula," because here it says Rabbi Yehuda is matame mishum golo, Rabbi Meir is matar. So there's no doubt Rabbi Meir clearly is matar. One could argue in yesterday's shir that the reason why it's not considered over there tame is because maybe the animal will run away or the animal will die, and that's why you shouldn't use it as a golo for a kever. It says velo golo lekever, but maybe it would function as a golo lekever, so that's another reason why we asked the question from our Mishnah today rather than the Brice from yesterday. In any event, this essentially disproves the rationale behind Abaya and Rabbi Zeira to say that Rameh's reasoning is because it's only Gzeira the Rabbanan, Shema Tomus, Shema Tivrach. So then, what is the real reason for Rav Meir saying that it is not able to use an animal for the wall of the sukkah? Elom Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, because in fact, Sava Rav Meir, kol mechitza shomedes baruach eino mechitza. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, in the first version that we're going to get for his answer, says because it's a mechitza that is standing up because of wind, of ruach, and that's not considered a valid mechitza. In other words, this behema is essentially air. It's the inside of it is air. It's hollow organs. And therefore, this animal is not considered significant as a mechitza because it's mostly air. Air can't be a mechitza. That's the first understanding of this statement of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Ikud Yamar, your second understanding is Omer Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kisavi Rabbi Meir, called mechitza sheinu asuya b'day adam ein a mechitza. It wasn't made by a human being, then it's not considered a mechitza. And an animal was made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not made by a human being, and therefore, that's why it's not a good mechitza. Is there a difference between these two? Whether you say that Rav Meir holds kol mechitza shomedes baruach ein a mechitza versus kol mechitza sheinu asuya b'day adam ein a mechitza, is there nafkamina between the two? May benayu? So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a big nafkamina. Ika benayu, the okma benod tafuach. If you were to keep the wall up with something like a balloon, a swollen or blown up node. A node is like a jug. And you blow this up, tafuach. It's a skin, and you blow it up like a balloon. And that balloon is what supports the wall. So according to the first version that says it's because it's not substantive, it's just air that's holding up the wall. So then this balloon, this node tafuach, is being supported, essentially this wall, by air, and that's not considered a valid mechitza. And according to that man the armor, it's no good. However, man the armor, eno asuyim the adam, it has to be something that's made by man in order to be mechitza. So this was made by man. This node tafuach was blown up by a man. He took this dry leather jug and he blew it up. So therefore, it is asuyim biyad adam, and as a result, it would be a perfectly good mechitza. And that's what the Gemara says. It returned to Chavdalit on the days, hare asuyim the adam, and it is a kosher mechitza. Okay, that's the real reason for Rav Meir, either version 1 or version 2 of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Now we quote the brisa that we had yesterday, Shir, Omamar, Mishum Rav Yosi HaGalili Yomru. At the end of that brisa, we said that there's another scenario where an animal isn't good, and that was Rav Yosi HaGalili. Elsewhere, there's a Tanakhama that argues with Rav Yosi HaGalili, the Chacham that argued with Rav Yosi HaGalili, which we'll see now in the Shir. But Rav Yosi HaGalili was the only one that we brought down yesterday, Mishum Rav Yosi HaGalili Yomru. In the name of Rav Yosi HaGalili, they said, Af in kosin olav gite noshim. You can't write a get on a live animal and use that as the krisus, the get krisus to divorce a woman. Where it says, why? My time of the Yosef Galili, why not? It's because Raisa says, the Tanya. The Pasuk tells us that you have to go, because I've lost Sefer Kirisos. Sefer, that implies Enli Ela Sefer. That has to be an actual document. It has to be a piece of paper, a parchment, the Klaf, Rashi says. So therefore, Minayin L'Rabo is called over. How do I know I can use called over? Rashi says, L'chtov Olav Kigon Luach Eitz, to use it on some sort of a wooden tablet, or the Ali Zayis, or on the leaves of an olive tree. How do we know that that is also good? Minayin L'Rabo is called over. Talmud Lomer, because the Pasuk says, V'kosav Law, and that implies Mikol Mokob. As Rashi says, the Motzi L'michtav, it could have said, V'nosam B'yodo Sefer Krisos. It could have said that he put in her hand the Sefer Krisos. Why does it say, V'kosav Law Sefer Krisos? Are you going to tell me, because you have to have the get lishma, so that we have other psukim to tell me that because of law, that it has to be a get lishma, has to be specifically for that woman. So this because of law is extra, and therefore because of law means mikol mokum. You can write it in anything that you want. No, if you can write it in anything that you want, so then in Cain, matam lo sefer. So then what's the purpose of saying sefer, which applies a cloth? If you can write it on anything, it doesn't have to be a cloth. So Gemara says, lo maloch, to teach us, Ma sefer dover she'ena bo ruach chayim ve'ena ochel, just like a sefer is not something that's alive, and it's not something that's considered a food, so too, you're only allowed to divorce your wife, af kol dover she'ena bo ruach chayim ve'ena ochel, to write the get krisus, the husband can only divorce his wife with something that doesn't have ruach chayim in it and doesn't have ochel. Oh, that is Rav Yossi Aglili Shita, that it can't be a dover she'yesh bo ruach chayim. That is Rav Yosef Glil's opinion, but there's a Tanakhama that argues with him. The Rabbanan that argue with him and say you could use a live animal. What's their svara? They say no. Ikosav b'sefer. It doesn't say b'sefer. It says because of law sefer krisos. Even it said because of law b'sefer krisos, you have to write it in the sefer krisos. So then Taki would be right. Kidukamris. Is that it would be exactly as you said, like Rav Yosef Glil said, that you must write it on a sefer. However, just sefer krisos, that implies something else. L'sviras dvorim bi'alma hudiyosa. It's just coming to tell us the idea. It's just coming to teach us how a person goes and divorces his wife. L'sviras dvorim bi'alma hudiyosa. It's telling us, that's me, a sefer krisos. You have to write out the nusach, but it doesn't have to be specifically on a cloth. No, then if you're saying that you don't, sefer doesn't come to tell me specifically a cloth, then what do you need the word? Because of law to come to teach me. Rabbanan, hi, because of law, my darshibe, if it's not needed to tell me kol dover, because already Sefer Krisos told me kol dover, so then the words because of law are extra. What do the chum do with that? So Gemara says, how meboile, b'chsiva miskoreshes, v'eino miskoreshes, b'kesef. That comes to teach me that you have to write a written document on whatever you're writing it on, but it has to be a written document, as opposed to you can't give your wife $100 and say, with this $100, you're now divorced. Now, why would you think you could do that? Because so kadai dechaminach, I might have said, hovi iska shitzio la'avaya, since going into the marriage is compared to going out of the marriage, where do we see that? So Rashi brings down, the pasuk tells us that, v'yotso mibeso, she leaves your house, v'hocho, v'hoiso li'ishach, and she goes to somebody else, it becomes the other person's wife. Now, hoysa is a lashon havaya. So that's what the Gemara tells us. Ma havaya bekesef, just like when she goes and marries that second husband, it's with kesef, he gives her kesef kedushin. So too, I might have thought, because of the hekish in the pasuk, af yitzia bekesef. For yotza should be just like the hoysa. So therefore, I might have thought that you write a shtar, or if you want, you could go and say, here's $100. With this $100, I divorce you. I reyat migureshesli b'tabazu. So that's what I might have thought. Kamash will learn that that's incorrect. That's what the Chachamim need because of law to teach us. No, this isn't a valid drasha. So no, what does Rav Yossi Aglili learn this out from? Rav Yossi Aglili, hi swaminole. How does Rav Yossi Aglili know that you can't divorce your wife with kesef? So Gemara says, mi sefer krisos nafka le. Because the pasuk says you have to have a sefer krisos. In other words, the sefer is korso, the ein dover acher koser. It has to be a sefer. It has to be some sort of a document. Rav Yosef Galili says it has to be either on a cloth or on something else, but it just can't be Ruach Chaim or Ochel, but it has to be a Sefer Krisos and not Kesef. No, this was a very good reason. Why didn't the Chacham hold like that? What did the Chacham do with the word Sefer Krisos? Why doesn't that teach him that it can't be money? That they need, the Sefer Krisis has to tell me that it has to be something that makes a full cut, a full severance between the husband and the wife. Rachman Litzlan, when a divorce is needed, so then it has to be a complete divorce. It can't be, oh, you're still my wife one day out of the month, or you're still my wife unless this happens. It has to be a complete separation. It cuts off totally between this husband and this wife. They're totally severed. Kidatanya, as well as the following brisa. If a man were to give his wife a get with the following condition, this is your get, but with the condition, or that you either can't drink wine forever, or you can never go to your father's house forever, so then that's not a severance, and therefore that's not a good get. Even though to every man in the world she could now get married, he didn't restrict her on that. Obviously, if you said you can get married to anybody in the world but Yankel, so then that's not a good get either. But even if there's any sort of a tie still to him, that you can't go drink wine, so she's still tied to him by the fact that she can't drink wine, or that she's tied to him, that she can't go to her father's house, so then it's not a good get. Ain't secresis. However, if you were to do it for a time-limited period, so for example, he said, but he puts in a qualification, kol shloshim yom, for 30 days, so then it is a valid get, hareza krisus. So that's what the Chachamim needs, say for krisus, to teach us that it has to be a total krisus. That's a good drasha. What does Rabbi Yosef Lili do with that drasha? V'idach, how does he learn that out? So Rabbi Yosef Lili would say, it doesn't say Sefer Kares, it says Sefer Krisos. So I can learn out both my drasha and this drasha. Mikares, Krisos, Nafka. I can learn out two things, because it didn't say Sefer Kares, it says Sefer Krisos. So I can learn out both of my drashas from it. No, what did the Chacham do with the extra drasha? Gemara says, V'idach, the Chachamim, Kares, Krisos, Lodarsha. They don't say that that's a valid drasha. They say, Sefer Kares, Sefer Krisos are the same thing. It's one drasha. The Chachamim need it for what they use it for, and Rabbi Yosef Lili can use it for the two things that he needs it for. Next Mishnah. If a person were to make a sukkah using the trees as the wall of the sukkah. In the previous Mishnah, he was using the trees as the floor and the schach of the sukkah. Everything was being supported by the tree. So then in that situation, it's different than our Mishnah. So here we're talking about Hoseh Sukkos Beinu Ilanos. You're making a sukkah using the trees as walls. V'ilanos defanosla. The tree is the wall of the sukkah, so kshera. Then it's not a problem, because the schach is not being supported by the trees, at least according to the simple understanding over here, and therefore this is a perfectly good sukkah. As Rashi points out, ba'aretz, the sukkah is on the ground, in the trees are the wall. And velo samcha aleihen, the schach is not being supported by the trees, avolhein daf no sel. They're just the walls of the sukkah. Now, the schach must be supported by poles or something else, but not by the trees. Gemara starts off and says, "I'm a Rav Acha bar Yaakov." Another statement from Rav Acha bar Yaakov: "Kol mechitza sheni yichol lama beruach betzuya ain't a mechitza. If the walls can't stand up within a normal wind, so then that's not considered a good wall. Ain't a mechitza, even though right now it's actually standing, but it's not considered a good mechitza. In other words, the mechitza has to be sturdy enough that it can withstand the normal wind." Gemara questions this and says, "Really? Our Mishnah, Tanan, Ho says Sukasu Beno Ilanos. This little Mishnah that we just learned: the person makes his tree as a wall, and that's the walls of his sukkah. So, osa sukkaso beino ilanos, v'ha ilanos defanos la, and the trees are the walls of the sukkah, k'shera. Our Mishnah said it's perfectly good. But wait a second, trees sway. V'aka azil, the osi, the tree is going to blow this way and that way, it's going to sway back and forth. So you just said, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that if the mechitza can't stand up to a normal wind, it's not a mechitza, but the tree doesn't stand up to a normal wind. So how could it be a mechitza? Where says, no, that's very simple. We're dealing with bekashit. We're dealing with the hard tree. That's the tree trunk. And therefore, with a sturdy tree trunk, ilonos zakenim v'avim, thick, older trees, so they don't sway in the wind. You have an oak tree in front of your house, it doesn't sway in the wind. Well, it's not a hurricane coming uproot it sometimes, but a regular wind, the tree doesn't budge. So therefore, that's why it's a valid mechitza. Where says, okay, great. That's if you have 10 tefachim of tree. But what happens if you just have a small little sapling and... So for the five bottom tefachim, it's sturdy, but then you have the branches, and the branches move about. Well, you could know for. You have the branches, and they're blowing in the wind. And therefore, the sukkah should be no good. According to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, it's a mechitza sheni yichol lamo beruach betzuya. Therefore, ain't a mechitza. So the Gemara answers, da'avadle behutza v'dafna. We had this words yesterday, hutza dafna. This is certain types of wood or tree that you go and tie the branches together with this material. So you take this hutza and dafna, certain type of palm fronds and other types of tree, and you tie the branches together so now the branches don't sway in the wind. Where it says, then what's the chiddush? Yachi ma'ale meimra. So then, what are you telling me? You're telling me that a wall is a wall. Okay, so I know that. This tree is sturdy, it's thick, and even the parts that's not sturdy is tied down, so therefore it doesn't sway in the wind, so why would I have thought that it's not a good wall? So he says, no, I might have thought, ma'o detema nigzar dilma osilish tamushe be'ilon. I might have thought that we shouldn't allow you to use this type of a wall because you may then come to use the tree. La niach olav kelav, Rashi says, you'll use the tree to hang your hat on. You use the tree to put something on it. And that's not allowed on Yontif. You're not allowed to use a tree on Yontif. It's muktzah. So therefore, I might have thought that we should make a gzeira that because you may come to use the tree, you're not allowed to use a tree as a wall. Kamashalon, the rabbis didn't make any such gzeira. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov's statement is still good, that something that is sturdy is a good wall, but if it's not sturdy, it blows in the wind, so then it's not a good wall. More questions is still. Toshma, we learn the following braisa. Ha yisham ilon, o goder, o mechitza sakonim, nido mishum diyumod. So this again is the Pasi Biros. We've had this many times, including in yesterday's year. The rabbis made a special din in regards to water. They were very makel in regards to water in a number of situations. Mechitza tlui, if you remember, we had back in the Gemara in Erevin. In any event, in regards to water, there's certain kulas. So if you have this be'er for the Oli Regel, and it's doesn't have a mechitz around it, so the people would only be allowed to go and be in the well, so to say, and use the water, but there are concerns that when you bring the water out, that the animal or the person will move outside the well area, and then they'll be carrying from the Shusha Yochid into this Carmelis. So therefore, the rabbi said, we make pasi biros, we make diyumdim, diyo is two, omdin, amma-wide, right-angle walls in the four corners, so that is perfectly good. There are diagrams of this that we've had previously in the Art Scroll, in the Illustrated Gemara, and in the Pirush Chai. In any event, those right-angle, one amma width, right-angle boards are the classical diyu omdin, two omdin, two boards. Now, those boards don't have to be actually boards. They could be a tree, so hayosham ilon, oh God there, or you have some sort of a fence. Again, it has to be an amma to one direction and an amma in the other direction at right angles to each other. O mechitza sakonim, or if you have a bunch of reeds, mechitza of reeds. Now, that's going to be the question. They blow in the wind. Nidan mishum diyumot. It is a valid diyumot. But how can that be, Rav Acha bar Yaakov? You said that if something blows in the wind, it's no good. But here, these mechitza sakonim will blow in the wind. Someone says, no, St. Terence, you just gave a moment ago. Hosam nami. Mishum da'ovid le'behutza v'dafna. You tie him down. So therefore, these mechitza sakonim don't blow either. So therefore, it's not a stira to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. We try again. Toshma. Ilon ha'mesach al'aretz. If you have a tree that is very, very branches and full of leaves, and it basically is like a mushroom, an upside-down mushroom, and it goes almost all the way to the ground, and you can stand underneath this mushroom tree, and you're perfectly enclosed in this area. So if those branches of the tree go within three tefachim of the ground, less than three tefachim from the ground, so you have the principle of lavud, so this area is essentially an enclosed area. The top part of the tree that's branching down, angling down, is like considered the roof of this enclosed area, and you have the walls or the branches of the tree going all the way to the ground. So ilan ha-mesach alo aretz im ein nofol gavon aretz shlosh tefachim. If it's within lavud distance of the ground, metaltim tachtav, you can actually carry under this area on Shabbos because it's an enclosed area with a roof on it, and therefore you should be allowed to carry in this area. But wait a second, according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, this tree is going to blow in the wind, so it should be a non-kosher mechitza. So am I hoka ozel liyosi kashan Rav Acha bar Yaakov? So guess what? Teretz we're going to give the same exact teretz we've already gave twice. Hosam nami d'avle behutz of adafna. You tied it down. Again, I'm not sure why the Gemara asks the same question three different times. But mistama, what happened? This is what I heard from my rebbeim. That these were all, the Gemara is just recording conversations in the base medrash. They were at different times. They weren't one right after the other. So at one time they asked this question, one time they asked that question, one time they asked this question, and when Ravina Ravashi recorded it all together, they brought all these questions together, even though obviously they're the same teretz, so one would have thought that it's unnecessary to ask the same question. So they asked at different times, Mistama. In any event, the Gemara says, if this is true, Ihachi, so then, Nitalta Bechule, so then not only if it's a smaller area, a base sasayim, should you be allowed to carry within it? But even if it's greater than a base sasayim, you should be allowed to carry within it. Now, there is a rule that if something is hukof ledira, if something is enclosed, an outdoor area that's enclosed for what's called dira, for we'll use the term residential purposes, for living purposes, so then you're allowed to go and carry within it. But there is a limit. If it's outdoors, it has to be an area that is less than a base of Sayin, which is the area of the Mishkan, which was 100 by 50. So it's 5,000 amos, which is 2,500 amos is a base saw. So base of Sayin is 5,000 square amos. So the Gemara now asks, if this is true, that we just said this, so then if it's tied down and sturdy, Nitata B'chuli should be allowed to carry in this area, no matter how big it is. Then why did Rav Yehuna Ben Yeshua tell us that Ein Metaltlin Bo, you're not allowed to go carry underneath this tree, we turn to Chafei Amun Aleph, Ella Beis Sosayim, only if it was up to a Beis Sosayim. If it was more than a Beis Sosayim, more than 5,000 square amos, then you can't carry within it, because it's not Hukof Ladira. But here it is Hukof Ladira, so why not? So Gemara says, no, Mishum Dahavi Dira Shetash Mishel La'avir. No, you're right. It was hukaf ladira, and when something is hukaf ladira, so then you could carry it even if it's more than a base sasayim. But that's only if it's indoors. Here, it's considered outdoors. The purpose of this tree is for outdoor usage. That the person is a watchman. He's going to sit under this tree, so he can watch the crops. He can watch the field. He can prevent animals from eating the crops or birds from eating the crops. So this is called dira shetash mishel. Lo avir, as Rashi points out, ain't a suya dirazu el litzorach avir shechutzla lishmar hasados, but ain't a chashuva dira lahatir hekiv gadol, and therefore it can't be permitting an area more than 5,000 square amma, and that's why this is different than something that was mukaf l'shem dira, which would be even allowed in a larger area, and that's why in this situation, which it was dira shetash mishel la avir. Therefore, you're limited to carry within it only up until it's two saw. If it's two base saw, more than two base saw, base sasayim, then you can't go and carry within it. Finally, last chance to try to prove that Rav Acha bar Yaakov is wrong. For the following brisa, Toshma, Shavas Betel Shugavo Asara. Now here we're going to have all sorts of situations. We're going to make an area into one dalet amos. For example, your house, your city is dalet amos under certain situations. So for Tchum Shabbos, if you live in a city, so that city is for you dalet amos. It doesn't count towards your Tchum of 2,000 amos on Shabbos. Only when you leave your city limits, that's when you start counting the 2,000 amos. So an area that is considered your Dalet Amos doesn't have to be only your Dalet Amos. If you're out in the middle of the woods someplace, so then your Dalet Amos is literally Dalet Amos. But if you're in an enclosed area, that entire enclosed area is considered Dalet Amos. Now, what we have over here is a tel. A tel is one of those words that's in English and Hebrew, the same word. It means a little small mound. So you have this tel, like tel aviv. Right? A tel is a mound, both in English and Hebrew. So Tel shehu gavoa asara. If you have this mound of earth, not a little mound, it could be a large mound, as we'll see, that is more than 10 tefachim all around it. So you have a raised area that's more than 10 tefachim off the ground. And this raised area is a large area. Behu me arba amos ad beis sasayim. And it's anywhere larger than 4 amos. If it was less than 4 amos, then you don't need this din. Because as Rashi points out, you're allowed to carry 2,000 amos from your place wherever you are. The person is considered dalet amos. So if this area was less than dalet amos, we wouldn't be interested in this din. It doesn't change anything at all. So this area is at least 4.1 amma, all the way up to beis sasayim, up to 5,000 square amos. Those are the dimensions of this raised tail that has around it, essentially, a halachic wall of 10 tefachim, because the wall goes down, but therefore by halacha, we consider the wall going up as well, good osik. And therefore this tail is considered an enclosed area. If it's an enclosed area between 4 amos and 2,000 amos, it has a status for you, for your tum of being just dalet amos. So here there's no question. This is straightforward in. This isn't a question of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. But this brisa continues and says the same halacha applies. A neka is basically a bika, a valley, a hole that was dug deep into the ground that is omok asar. It's at least 10 tefachim deep. So it's a separate area as well. And again, it's the width is v'hu me'arba amos ha-beis asayim. It's more than 4 amos, less than 5,000 square amos. Somewhere in between there, we consider this all as dalet amos in Hilchus Tum for Shabbos. Again, no question here on Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Here comes the question, as the brisa continues, on Rav Acha bar Yaakov. The kain koma kitsura. You have a field of wheat or grains that is harvested. B'shibolos makifos asar. But you basically just harvest an area in the middle, and around it you have these sheaves that are standing all around it that are more than 10 tefachim tall. And again, you've enclosed an area that is between 4 amos and 5,000 square amos in the dimension. So in this area as well, Mahalich Eskula V'chutzula Alpayim Amah, you're allowed to go and view this as all your Dalit Amos, and therefore, even if this was 5,000 square Amos, we consider that when you walk from one end to the other end, it's considered still as if you only walk Dalit Amos in regards to Hilchos Tum. Now, Afagab the Ka'ozul V'osi, again over here, these stalks, these shibolos that you have makifos around this area, they're blowing in the wind. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you said if it's blowing in the wind, it's not a kosher mechitza. So what is going on over here? So the Gemara says the same exact terrace that we've already had four times. Hasam nami de'avad le'behutzav dafna. Again, we're talking about a situation where you bundled it down, you tied it down. So therefore, they're not blowing in the wind. They're considered a mechitza that can stand up to a ruach metzuya. And even Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that that, of course, is a perfectly good mechitza. It's only if it can stand up to the wind. If you didn't have it tied down with the hutza and dafna, then it would be no good. So we don't disprove Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Acha bar Yaakov is paskin the halacha, albeit there's a lot of discussion exactly how to paskin in certain situations. If the curtain sways more than three tvachim, is that considered no longer within the lovud type of situation? That's why many of the modern sukkahs, they have the bars on the bottom of the sukkah going up to 10 tvachim. So even if they're made out of cloth or canvas, which would blow in the wind, so A, number one, they may not blow three tvachim, but even if they were to blow three tvachim, you have the beams or the bars that go around up to 10 tvachim, so they function as the sturdy walls of the sukkah. So even if the canvas moves, they don't move. Again, a lot of this is halacha maisa questions that should be asked when you're building a sukkah to make sure that it's kosher. Today we learned, again, Le'ila Nishmas, my paternal grandfather, Rav Yecheskel ben Ephraim Moshe, may his holy neshama have an aliyah, and for Refuah Shlema, for Aliza Bela, Bas Liora, Sara Etel, Leah Sara Etel, Mitzvah Shem, she should have a Refuah Shlema as she undergoes emergency appendectomy surgery. All people who need a Refuah Shlema, Be'ezus Hashem, should have one.